कुन्दाजाने चोबरा मधुपुरी तत्रापि रासोत्सवात् वृन्दारण्योदारपाणि रमणात् तत्रापि गोवर्धना राधाकुन्दमिहापि गोकुलपते प्रेम्णामृताप्लावनान् कुर्यादस्य विराजतो गिरित्वते सेवां विवेकेन ख Vaikuntha. Then Vaikuntha. The Lord is Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, this super excellent Sri Radha Kund stands supreme, for it is over flooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? Okay, so the last verse, Rupa Goswami described. That the place of bhajan should be Vrindavan. But in Vrindavan, there are many places you could go to, right? Mathura, Gokul, Kamvan, Radhakund, Govardhan. So here he specifically points out the best place in all of Brajmandala, and that is Radhakund. And he gives some comparisons, beginning with Vaikuntha. Of course, Vaikuntha is a transcendental place, better than any material place, because there's the Lord, the Supreme Lord, in his opulent feature as a Supreme Controller, Lord of the Purushas, Divine Controller, above the three modes of nature. He has created the universes. This is Lord Vaikunthanath, Lord Narayan. But higher than that is this place Mathura, which has descended in this world because the Lord has appeared there. This is his place of appearance. Of course, we know that that is his Vasudev feature, because simultaneously Krishna did appear in Gokul in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So that when Vasudev took this Krishna form from Mathura into Gokul and across the Jamuna, there he saw in Nanda's house Mother Yashoda sleeping, and there was actually a Lord Krishna also there asleep as in a baby form along with his sister. So the Krishna that Vasudev was carrying merged inside of the Krishna that was there in Gokul, because that is the original Krishna. Because the original Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. And how is it that Sri Nanda Nandan, the supreme Swayam Bhagavan, how is it that he could appear in a place outside of his own Vrindavan? Because it is mentioned, Vrindavanam Parityaja Napadam Ekam Gacchati, that Krishna never even takes a step out of Vrindavan. So how could he be born outside of Vrindavan? So actually Krishna is born inside Vrindavan in Gokul. But because to facilitate the pastimes and to encourage Vasudeva Devaki and to so many other points, Krishna appears in both places and he has Vasudeva carry him across the Jamuna to Gokul. But still, Krishna did appear there. It is a fact. And that's not the only reason why it is superior, because Krishna really doesn't have an appearance. He's transcendental. He's without birth, right? He's advaitam achutam anadim, anantarupam adyam purana purusho navayovanam cha. Krishna is anadi. He has no beginning. He has no janma. In the spiritual world, there is no janmastami. So he has no birth. This is just a pastime on the earth, a nimitic lila, or occasional pastime. So there's something more than just the fact that Krishna appeared in Mathura, which makes Mathura superior to Vaikuntha. And actually, I pose this question to all of you, that what, because all of these places are all spiritual, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, so what makes one place better than another? They're all absolute. Mathura is absolute, Vaikuntha is absolute, Ayodhya is absolute, Dwarka is absolute, Mathura, Vrindavan. So how is it that Rupa Goswami is saying one place better than another and another place is better than another? What is his criterion? Rasa, yes, but what is that? What does the rasa do that makes it? What's special about rasa? Yes, it's pleasing to Krishna. The higher the rasa, the more Krishna gets pleasure. So this is the criterion, actually. Because when you're talking about tattva, there is no difference between Vaikuntha and Mathura or Vrindavan. They're all transcendental. They're all absolute. Right? But when you're talking about rasa, then you have some variegatedness and some comparison, some kind of objective comparisons can be made as inferior or superior based on rasa, because Krishna gets more pleasure the more the higher or more intimate the rasa is. Yes, it's true. So you have to sometimes you have to analyze things through tattva and sometimes through rasa. So here Rupa Goswami is talking about rasa. So in Mathura, or let's say in Vaikuntha, all you have is Shantavras, Dasyaras, and nothing more than that. You don't have, you know, any cowherd boyfriends of Vishnu playing in the forest, playing leapfrog with Vishnu, you know, snatching some, you know, a sweet ball from the friend's package and, you know, throwing it to Lord Vishnu into his mouth. Or you don't have any wrestling pastimes, or where Lord Vishnu loses a game and he has to carry his friends on his shoulders. You don't have this pastime. You don't even have any mother of Lord Vishnu. You never see any posters of baby Vishnu being suckled by his mother, you know, with four arms as a small baby, and, you know, some kind of divine goddess taking care of baby Vishnu, his, right, sucking on his mother's breast with his four hands. You know, we don't see anything like this. He doesn't have any mother or father. There's no pastimes like that in Vaikuntha. So there's no Vatsalya Bhav, right? There's no girlfriends or queens. But of course we have Lakshmi Devi. But Lakshmi Devi is just always massaging his feet. She never gets angry at him. She never tells him to take out the garbage. She never, you know, she's in Dasyaras, actually. There's a little bit of Madhurya there, but it's practically nothing. It's just all Aishwarya, Dasya. So there's really no Madhurya. There's a little bit, if you really go deeply into the philosophy, you'll see something called Gaurava Sakyaras, which means a reverential friendship. Gaurava Sakyaras means reverential friendship. But this is the highest thing in Vaikuntha, but we don't see any Vatsalya or Madhurya or any real Sakyaras. It's just Dasya and Shanta. But when you go to Mathura, then we see Devaki and Vasudev, and they're there, and they love Krishna as their son. Although it's a Gyanamayi, it's like a mixture. There's some Gyana Mishra, Aishwarya Gyan Mishra Bhakti is there. But they have some maternal feelings. They have some parental feelings for Krishna. So Krishna appears with his four hands, just to remind them, yes, it's me, the same one who appeared last time in your previous birth as Kasyapa and Aditi, and Krishna Garba and Sutapa. yes, it's me again. You prayed for me, and now I am again here. And then those two arms disappeared, and he became Krishna. And so Devaki was fortunate. Actually, the commentators say that she got one chance to suckle and, you know, the baby. She offered her breast milk to Krishna one time, Devaki did, before Vasudev took him away in the middle of that night. So she felt this Vatsalya Bhav. It's there in Mathura. And of course you have Kubja, and you have some ladies, and there's Madhurya Rasa also. So in Mathura you have some higher rasas there. And Uddhava is a Dasya Sakya. He has Sankul Ras, which is mixed, so the primary one and then the secondary rasa. So Mathura is higher than Vaikuntha. Krishna was born there, that means he has parents, that means Vatsalya Rasa is there, but not Vaikuntha. And now Rupa Goswami says Vrindavan is better than Mathura. Why? Because in Vrindavan we have Rasa Lila, Rasotsavat, the great festival of Ras. See, Rupa Goswami gives the Sanskrit terms. The first one is the reasons why each one's better. Janito, which means he had his birth there. And then the next one is Rasotsavat. In Vrindavan, there's Rasa Lila. And so there's Madhurya Ras. Not only Madhurya Ras, but there's Parakya Ras. Because Madhurya Ras, there's two kinds. Swakya, the married relationship, and Parakya, the unmarried relationship. So in Vrindavan, Krishna dances with the gopis, not with the queens. So he has the Parakya Ras. And that's there. This is called Maharas in Vrindavan. In the autumn, in Sharat Purnima, the full moon night of the autumn season of Sharat, then Krishna goes to Vansivat at the side of Gujamuna and he plays on his flute and he calls all gopis. All the different types of gopis come flocking there. Lakhs and lakhs of gopis, hundreds of thousands of gopis. So many kinds. We know there's Vipaksha, Tatashtapaksha, Suritpaksha and Swapaksha gopis. Four kinds of paksha, you know. Paksha means wing or group, right? Birds of the feather flock together. So paksha means wing and group, right? Birds of a feather flock together. So the gopis, they flock together in these four kinds, four groups. Vipaksha means Chandravali's camp. She is the competitor. Yeah. Then there's Tatashtapaksha, which is a neutral group headed by Taraka. And then there's Suritpaksha, headed by Shama. And then there's Swapaksha, which is Radharani's own group headed by Lalita. Now these names are given in the first verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Believe it or not, the very first verse, all of these names, Taraka, Pali, Shama, and Lalita, right, are all given. And they represent these four groups of gopis. So when Krishna blows on his flute at Vansivat in Vrindavan, it's called Mahara. So all these different kinds of gopis, they all come. And Krishna has Rasa dance with them. And then Radharani is there and she says, oh, there's so many kinds of gopis. And why he's dancing with all of them? Doesn't he know that I'm his special one? And so she becomes indignant. Man, and she does man. And then she leaves the Rasa Lila. And then well, Krishna takes her out. Krishna takes Radharani out of the rasa dance to appease her mood of anger. And then they go walking into the forest, and you've read all of this in the Krishna book. Right? And all the gopis are looking for them, and they're wandering through the forest. And then at a certain point, Radharani says, "Oh, I'm so tired. Now you can take me wherever you like." And Krishna says, "Oh, yes, very good." And then he disappears. And then she's lost. And she was proud that she was so, giving herself. "Now, here I am. I am all yours. You take me wherever you like." So Krishna disappeared. So this is Vrindavan Maharas. But now, Murba Goswami says that Govardhan is higher than Vrindavan. So one might think, how could it be higher, than Rasalila? Because there is no higher Ras than Rasalila. What is how can you go higher than Madhurya Ras? It's not possible. So he says that because Udara Pani, O Krishna, he lifted that Govardhan hill, but he also says Ramanat, that because Krishna has various kinds of Rama Lila, or his various loving pastimes, which are considered higher than even Vrindavan. Because in Govardhan, the Govardhan Ras is in the springtime. It's called Vasant Ras. And when Krishna goes to Govardhan and blows his flute there, you don't get such a wide variety of all the different kinds of gopis. You don't get Chandravali's camp and this camp and this camp. You get a more smaller group of gopis. And in that Govardhan Ras, it's also described in the teachings of Ramananda Roy to Lord Chaitanya. If you look in there, towards the end, Krishnas Kaviraj quotes from the Govinda Lilamrita. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Govinda? No, it's the Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. In this book, there's some reference to the Govardhan Ras, and there, Radharani and Krishna are dancing, but Radharani leaves the rasa dance also because of her indignance or her man, her spiritual anger. And then Krishna comes chasing after her in the forest. But in the Govardhan Ras, Krishna cannot find Radharani. And he's wandering through the forest like a madman, like a lost boy looking for his girlfriend. Oh Radha, where are you, where are you? And then he sits down by himself and starts crying. So in the Govardhan Ras, although in the Vrindavan Ras, Radharani's position as superior gopi is prominent, because when Krishna disappeared in the Vrindavan Ras, when Radharani left the Vrindavan Ras and then she was in the forest with Krishna, when they left together, then Krishna disappeared and then he left her alone, so that when the other gopis found Radharani all alone weeping, then they felt sorry for her. And they saw that her intensity of separation was 1,000 times more intense than their own. So when they saw the power of her pure love, then they recognized, oh, she loves Krishna much more than we do. So then when Krishna came back, and that was one of the main purposes of this pastime, to show the gopis that Radharani loves Krishna much more than they, and therefore she deserves to dance in the center of the rasa dance. And so when they saw that actually her separation was so much more intense, then they agreed and they said yes. And they also felt sorry for her because she was in such a shaken state, so full of intense separation. So then they began wandering in the forest And they began singing the songs of the gopis called Gopi Geet. So when Krishna was in his unmanifest form hiding in some bushes or something right in the forest, and then when Krishna heard these songs of the gopis, these verses were so full of intense mood of love that it forced him to come and manifest himself again towards all of them. And then they had ras, then they could dance in Vrindavan together. So in the Vrindavan ras, Radharani's position was shown as superior. But in the Govardhan ras, Krishna was left alone in the forest crying. So not only was her position over all of the other gopis manifested, but how much her love controls Krishna was manifested in the Govardhan ras. That was not shown in the Vrindavan rasa-lila. How much Krishna is subservient to Radharani's love. This was manifested in this Govardhan ras. So therefore, Rupa Goswami says that because of the Ramanat, because of the various intense and intimate loving pastimes which were performed in Govardhan, therefore Govardhan is considered even higher than Vrindavan. And then finally, he says that Radhakun stands supreme because Premamrita Plavanat, because of the overflowing ambrosial prema which is present in Radhakun. And it's true, because there only Radharani's Swapaksha gopis can come there, only her own camp. None of the other residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Yashoda, or Sridham Sudham, or any of the other gopis, Chandravali, they cannot come to Radhakun. It's just Radharani and her intimate associates. So there, the highest pastimes of Madhurya Rasa are performed every day by Krishna and Radha and her sakis. All of these pastimes happen during the midday, from something like 11 in the morning till about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and then Krishna leaves and he goes back to find out what the cowherd boys are doing. So during the whole mid part of the day, he's actually in Radhakun, swimming, playing different pastimes, playing on the boat, Nokalila, and so many kinds of loving pastimes there. So Rupa Goswami describing that this place is the best place for bhajan, for those who are desirous of following in the footsteps of the gopis, then they go to Radhakun. And of course, anyway, this type of love is being promoted by Rupa Goswami because he is Rupa Manjari. And Lord Chaitanya himself had come, or Krishna himself had come as Lord Chaitanya to taste Radharani's love. It is to taste this Madhurya Ras. So Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Vrindavan, he went to all of the forests, and then he finally came to Arishtagram. And there he sat down under the tamal tree. Right, you can see this place. And he was asking all of the residents, where is this Radhan Shamakun? And he had some Brahmin who followed him from Mathura. The Brahmin also didn't know. No one could tell him. So it's in this commentary here that he began searching here and there. He was looking for this place. And because of his omniscience, he could understand that there were these two ponds, Kali and Gauri. Kali and Gauri. These two ponds in the middle of some fields, which were just mud fields. And so Lord Chaitanya went there. There was just a little bit of water there. And he sat down in this muddy water and he went into ecstasy. Actually, it mentions in the Bhatni Ratnakar that even Lord Brahma cannot begin to express the mood of ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya experienced when he found these two ponds. And he sat there, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was with him. Lord Chaitanya put on tilak from the mud there after bathing, and then he collected some of the clay and he gave it to Balabhadra, and Balabhadra wrapped it up, and they kept this as for tilak later, and they brought it back to Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya was there, I mean, he was a very tall, effulgent, golden sannyasi. So all the Brijavasis, they, you know, were looking, you know, what is this big golden sannyasi, you know, 7.5 feet tall? He's in the middle of these fields, you know, bathing in the mud, putting mud on his, what is he doing there? And they were completely astounded. One said, well, who is this sannyasi? Where has he come from? And then the person said, I can't even imagine what kind of person this is, because I can't even describe to you what's happening in my body. Just by looking at him, I'm feeling ecstasy, my body is shivering. And then the other person said, he cannot be a mortal sannyasi, because just by seeing him, I cannot describe what's happening in my mind. My mind's becoming so bewildered and attracted by him. And then another person said, who said he's a sannyasi anyway? He's Krishna himself, come in this new form. Just see the evidence. All of the birds are coming to have his darshan. The cuckoos and all the different kinds of birds there are singing and glorifying him. And the peacocks are dancing in ecstasy. And all, look at the trees are blue, blossoming and blooming, and the all of the vines and creepers, they're growing flowers, and those flowers are falling on him. Just see, and look at all the animals. The deer are coming right up to him and staring at him right in the face, undivertedly, without even blinking their eyes. And the cows are coming, running from a long distance with their tails in the air and their ears up, and they're coming and they're staring at him in the face also. And we can tell by the expressions of love and the tears flowing from the eyes of these animals that they must be meeting their old friend from a long time ago. So he is not an ordinary sannyasi. My dear brothers, let us now glorify all of these residents, these kind creatures who have come to see this special person who has come here to give us knowledge, to enlighten us that these two ponds, Kali and Gauri, are not just ordinary ponds, but they're actually holy places to be worshipped. So in this way, all of the residents, they saw Lord Chaitanya and they were speaking in this way. They could never forget this for the rest of their lives. They were in so much ecstasy. And so they began worshipping these two ponds. And of course, later the Goswamis came and they began to excavate these rather small ponds. Actually, it's described also in the Bhakti Ratnakar that Raghunath Das Goswami was living by the side of Radhakund, and in his mind he was thinking, it would be very nice to excavate these two ponds and make them very big and clean the water so people can drink it and they can bathe here. It would be so nice to do this. But then in his mind he thought, but this would take so much money. It's not good for a renunciate to be thinking about money. And so he thought, better if I stay by myself for a few weeks and watch my mind. And he felt very ashamed that he was thinking in this way. But because Krishna always fulfills the desires of his devotee, at that very moment in Bhadrak Ashram, there was a very wealthy man, a devotee of Narayan, who was worshipping Lord in Bhadrak Ashram, and he was giving him a big donation. In Bhadrak Ashram, he was offering a big donation. So that night, the Lord came to this man in his dream, and he said, take all of your money and bring it to Arishtagram and find Raghunath Das Goswami and offer the money to him. And if he doesn't accept it, then remind him of his desire to excavate and clean Radha and these two ponds. Radha and Shyamakund. So then the man was in ecstasy, took the money, he went to Arishtagram, and he found Raghunath Das, and he offered the money to him. Raghunath Das was stunned for some time. He couldn't even talk or move or anything. And then finally he smiled and said, all right, so you should use this money and organize and contract people and come and excavate these ponds. You take the money and you do this. So then the man was even in more ecstasy. He got some seva to do. And by the order of Raghunath Das, they excavated the pond. And they were about to excavate Shyamakund and knock down some of the trees on the side. But that night, Raghunath Das had another, he had a dream. And in the dream, Yudhisthira came to him and he said, me and my brothers are living in the form of these trees. And if we're living there, so don't kill these trees, let us live. So then he agreed. So the next morning he came, before they knocked down the trees, and he said, this one, this one, this one, this one, you cannot knock them down. So that's why Shyamakund has this funny shape. It's not, you know, rectangular. It's to avoid these trees. The Pandavas were there. Doing bhajan. Doesn't mention exactly, but they wouldn't be able to fit in if they were just there in their ordinary sarup, right? As big kshatriyas. How would they fit into the Vrindavan atmosphere, right? So sages also do this. They take the form of trees or bumblebees or something so that they don't disturb the sweet mood of Vrindavan. So this is the modern day, from the time of Lord Chaitanya, what was happening in Radhakund. If we go back further, then we can tell the original story. As you know, one day Kamsa sent Arishta Sura to Braj to cause disturbance, which he did, and all the gopis were running in fear from this huge bull, which he was so tall that the lump on his back was touching the clouds. And when he came into Vrindavan roaring and kicking up earth, the whole Vrindavan was shaking. And people and women lost, had miscarriages. And, people, it was very frightening. So Krishna came to save the residents of Vrindavan. And he called to Arishta, how dare you disturb my dear friends in our village, you rascals. So then Arishta charged on him. And Krishna held out his hand and just stopped him and then turned him over and then pulled out one of his, what are they called? Horns. Pulled out one of his horns and then beat him to death with the horn like this. So there he laid. And of course he kicked up a lot of earth during that time. So after that, when he came to talk to the gopis, they said, stay away from us, you rascal, you contaminated man. And he says, what do you mean, contaminated? They said, you killed Arishta. You have the sin of killing a bull. And he said, he was a demon. I did a good thing by killing him. He said, yes, but he was still in the form of a bull, a male cow. So you have to perform some penance and get purified of this sin. And he said, all right, then what should I have to do then? And they said, the only way you can get purified is if you go take bath in every holy place throughout the three worlds. And so Krishna, you know, he kind of arrogantly said, why should I have to go all the way, all around the world and go to all of these places? I'll call them myself here and I will bathe here and get purified. So he called, oh, waters of the Bhagavati from the Patal region and all other holy places and holy kuns, you please come here before me right now. And then he stamped his foot down, his heel into the ground. And all of these personalities, all these holy places and holy rivers, they all came before Lord Krishna. So then Krishna very proudly looked over at the gopis and he said, so, you see, I have done it. They have all come here. And then they said, we don't believe you. Why should we believe? Who are these people anyway? So then they all of these personalities came forward and they bowed down. They said, I am the salt water ocean. I am the ocean of milk. Ya okyan malako. I am the Sindhu River, Jamuna Saraswati. I am Pushkar Tirtha. And all of the holy places came there. I am the Sarayu from Ayodhya and the Reva River. And so many holy places, they all came and they offered their obeisances. So Krishna said, see. Now, so then he took bath in this place and he very proudly declared, now I am completely purified. But yet you gopis have taken your birth on the earth, but you haven't performed any pious activities such as I have. And then so Radharani turned to her friends. She said, now I will also create my own lake. So you gopis come and help me. And so a little bit west of Krishna's lake, there was some, from the hoofs of Arishta, he had dug some hole in the ground. So the gopis came there and they started pulling out the nice, soft, moist earth and then depositing it somewhere close. And they, it mentions in 48 minutes, they had cleared away this whole big area. And so then Krishna, he was very impressed and he said, oh, you have done very good work. So now, if you like, the holy waters from my lake will come and enter into your kund, and there will be, and Radharani said, no. Oh no, this is your lake is contaminated by the sin of killing a cow. I will get my own waters from Manasi Ganga with all of my thousands of sakis, and with buckets we will bring all pure water into my kund. But when she spoke this, then all of the personified holy places took one form, and that person came before Radharani and bowed down. And with tears in his eyes, he began to pray to Radharani. And he began to pray, oh my dear goddess, no one can understand you. Not Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or even Lakshmi herself can understand you. Only our Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can actually understand who you are. And he himself is willing to serve you. Anytime you feel some fatigue, he's willing to wipe your perspiration. And he is at your feet applying red lac, red color to your feet. And he serves you like a menial servant. And he's always waiting for your sidelong glance to show your pleasure upon him. So we also pray for your side long glance of mercy so that the tree of our desires will bear fruit. Something like this, some beautiful prayers he began to. And with tears in his eyes, with this great glorification, describing how Krishna is, you know, at her feet. And so Radharani was very pleased. And she smiled and she said, all right, so then what is your desire? I will fulfill it. So then the person said, we have come here being requested by Lord Krishna to fulfill his desires and to fill his lake, but we also want to enter into your lake. And please allow us to do this, and then all of our desires will be fulfilled. So then she smiled and she looked at her friends, she looked at Krishna, and then she said, yes, please come forward, all of you. So then the section between the two lakes broke open, and all of the holy waters came from the Jamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Godavari, Sindhu, Kaveri. All of the waters came, all the holy rivers entered into Radharani's kund. And Krishna said, yes, so now in the future I will always come here and bathe in your holy kund and perform pastimes here. And Radharani said, I will also come to your kund and bathe daily, Shyam. And anyone who comes here to bathe or to reside on these banks will certainly please you and receive all of your mercy. So then that night, Radha and Krishna had rasa dance by the bank of Radha Kund. And they enjoyed great celestial bliss. Radha, Krishna compared to the blackish cloud and Radharani to the lightning. They rained down the shower of ecstasy, which inundated the entire universe. Something like this. So this is how the pastime is described by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary to the Bhagavatam. It's there in our ISKCON Bhagavatam. You can see his commentary written there. And in Russia, we made a nice drama of this pastime. Very beautiful pastime, the appearance of Radha Kund. So sweet and so full of nectar. So Rupa Goswami is pointing to this place as the place of bhajan for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary, he mentions about Lord Chaitanya searching for this place. He also says that the importance of Radha Kund, however, cannot be realized by any other Vaishnava Sampradaya, nor can persons uninterested in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand the spiritual importance and divine nature of Radha Kund. Thus, Radha Kund is mainly worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because those Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they realize that Krishna has come in the form of Mahaprabhu to taste the love of Radharani. So they know that Radharani is the dearmost to Krishna, and not only that, but he's subservient to Radharani, and that he's eager to taste her mood of love and ecstasy. And therefore he has appeared in a golden form. Can you close this door, please? I'll tell these children to be quiet. At least make an attempt. Once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on the banks of the Radha Kund doing prakrama with some disciples. And at the same time, they saw some devotees from Jaipur there. And they were also doing prakrama of Radha Kund. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked, what is the difference between our prakrama and their prakrama? And then after some time he answered himself, revealing that they come here because they're giving some respect to Radharani because she's dear to Krishna. In other words, because their primary object of worship is Lord Krishna. And because Radharani is Krishna's girlfriend, because she's dear to him, therefore they come and give respect to her. But he said, for us it's different. He said, we're coming here because we worship Radharani as a primary Ishtadeva, Devi. And we give worship to Krishna because Krishna is Radharani's boyfriend. or because Krishna is dear to Radharani, therefore we give some respect to Krishna. So our main focus of worship is Srimati Radharani. And this is the mood of the Gaudiyas. And therefore everyone here says, Jai Radhe. Saying, if Krishna has never left Vrindavan, then why were the gopis lamenting and in separation their whole lives? Huh? Well, Krishna was present, but he was unmanifest to their eyes because he wanted to exhibit their mood of separation to the whole world, to glorify them, first of all, and so that others can also enter into this mood of separation and various other reasons. So Krishna is actually present. But he's hiding in some bushes and they cannot see him. And actually in some places Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Krishna became the super soul in the hearts of the gopis. In other words, they no longer had a super soul, but it was directly Krishna himself. And that's why they could absorb themselves so intensely in Krishna's pastimes. Because you know, when the gopis were in the forest, they were enacting Krishna's leelas. Like one gopi would stand up as if she was holding Govardhan, and then the other gopis were underneath, you know, kind of saying, please help us, Krishna, save us. Like this. So in this way, another gopi was standing on the back of another gopi and saying, I will chastise you, Kaliya. You leave this lake at once. Something like this. So in this way, the gopis were actually manifesting Krishna's pastimes so expertly because Krishna himself had become their super soul. And they were feeling his presence so intensely in this way. So Krishna had actually become the super soul in the hearts of the gopis. So he was still in Vrindavan, but he was in their hearts. So therefore, they were still thinking themselves to be separated from Krishna. Those who are qualified, they can actually see there's this Prakat Leela, this Nitya Leela is going on. Not only in Seva Kunja, everywhere, so many places. Krishna's here, having his pastimes. It's mentioned in many places. The last place I remember reading this was also in Chaitanya Mangal. It's mentioned there a few times. So those who worship Lord Chaitanya, they automatically develop attraction for Radha and Krishna's conjugal pastimes. It's a kind of known fact that yes, we have to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first before we approach Radha and Krishna. And before we worship Mahaprabhu, we have to worship the Goswamis by studying their literature. Before we do that, we have to approach the spiritual master. Way, by gradually becoming purified and getting the blessings of these personalities, ultimately our goal is to approach Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. But because that is the goal, you know, we may talk about the goal, we may think about the goal, or pray for the goal, but we should know that, you know, we're far from the goal, and we have to purify ourselves by doing guru seva and preaching on behalf of the spiritual master, and this way please Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this way get their mercy, and then approach Radha and Krishna. Yeah, this is the proper approach. Just like on an altar, generally you have guru, and then the next step, Gauranga, and then the next step, Radha and Krishna. Step by step, you approach Radha and Krishna like this. The question is, so can a jiva attain internal place in Navadvip, in Goloka, as well as also we have heard one can become Manjari in Radha and Krishna Lila. Yeah, it's true. Navadvip, Goloka Navadvip is also there. And for those who are attracted to the Ardharya aspect of the Lord, to the magnanimous, merciful aspect of the Lord, then they will go there, worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're focusing more on this aspect, then they will go there. And those who worship Mahaprabhu but are more attracted to the Madhurya aspect of the Lord, then gradually their minds will focus on Radha and Krishna Lila, and they will go to Radha and Krishna's pastimes because of attraction to the Madhurya features of the Lord. And in Jivadharma, Bhaktivedanta Thakur says that jiva can go to both places simultaneously if he has such a desire. If he wants to serve in both of these places, he can go, because the soul is unlimited. And he can have one male form in Gaura Lila and one female form as a Manjari in Krishna Lila. It's part of our philosophy, of course. But it's, you know, for someone to have such desire, it's a very lofty desire. I mean, you can imagine, you can do kalpana and just dream and imagine, yeah, I want to be a Manjari, I want to be Manjari. But, you know, if it's not real, coming from the depths of your heart in lolium, then it's just going to last a few months or maybe a year or something, and then you'll be thinking of something else and you'll forget about your Manjari Bhav. You know? Because it's not real, it's not coming from your heart, it's just something in your mind. It's just kalpana, or imagination. So these desires, they begin at ruchi. I mean, we can read things and we can see the prayers of the Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, and we can read these prayers and we can think that, wow, someday I hope that I can pray like this. And sometimes you can pick up something from, you know, the reading these prayers. But unless you're above anartha nivritti, unless you're at least at nishta, and you're free from all of sinful desires, then there's no question, because the heart is crushed by so many anarthas and sins. Every day, we want to become a dasi for Radha and Krishna. But, you know, seva adhikara diye, please, Vrindadevi, you help me. Please give me the adhikar. Seva adhikara diye. Koro nijadasi. Then someday I can become your servant. But right now I don't have any adhikar to think of these, to do these things. Nevedana daro sakhi ranugata koro. I want to follow in the footsteps of the sakis. But I don't have any adhikar to do this. I'm still dreaming about sense gratification. So first of all, before we come to that point, we have to go back to, this prayer by this other song, Gauranga bolite habe pulaka sharia nayane hari hari bolite nayane bhave niye. Arkabe nitai chan karuna hoibe. Samsara vasana mor kobe tucha hobe. Now we pray to Lord Nityananda that all of these material desires, the vasana, samsara vasana mor, all of my material subtle desires that are still dwelling within my heart, kobe tucha hobe, when will it become very insignificant? And then vishayak chariya kobe shuddha hobe man, when will I give up sense gratification and my mind become totally pure? Then I can think about entering into Vrindavan. So that comes first before you start praying, these other things. E nevedena dara sakira nugata koro. Of course, that's there, but that's higher. First, we have to pray, for vishaya chariya kabe shuddha habe man. Kabe hame bujabo se Vrindavana. This is the first thing. First things first. Like in the Seven Habits, right, of Stephen Covey. Put first things first. So first thing is we have to get rid of all of these crazy desires that are stopping us from actually what is really in our heart, what kind of, sarup are we going to be hankering for? Only God knows. Because I don't know, because I have so many desires in my heart. So let me do some guru seva, Vaishnav seva, and preaching, and pray to the Lord that these things will be destroyed. And in the future, yes, maybe, I will desire some seva in Vrindavan, following in the footsteps of some, ragatmika bhakta. Yeah, that will happen. But for now, I'm in this condition, what can I do? See, actually by studying these things and singing bhajans and reading lilas and all these things, gradually you come down to the same point. You realize you're not qualified to do raganuga bhajan. Even if you started doing them, if you went to Mathura and you joined another group of people, you started reading Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Karnamrita and Vilap Kusmanjali and singing old bhajans and all of these things. And you'll realize that, wow, I'm not qualified for doing these things. this will be your realization. So that's why anytime Prabhupada was asked by his disciples about these things, he just would laugh. He would say, you can't even control your senses and you're talking about Sarup City. You are a rascal. So, these things are there. We should know our philosophy, but then we have to also be realistic about it. And in the future, it takes a long time to get to Nishta. Usually it takes like 30 years or something. 20 or 30 years, just to get to Nishta. And then maybe, it depends. But it takes a long time. Navadvip. General mood in Navadvip is because we're worshipping Mahaprabhu as Mahaprabhu, as the Lord. Therefore, our mood is one of reverence. And he is the leader of the Vaishnavas. Right? He is the Lord who has come to taste Radha's prema. And he is our leader. So therefore, the general mood is one of reverence. There is, I mean, the general Nitya Lila in Navadvip, generally this is in Navadvip, as the Lord as a youth, as Nimai. And he has his parents, his neighborhood friends, and so forth. And if one wants to worship Mahaprabhu also as a sannyasi, then there's also another place like Puri, where he's worshipping Lord Jagannath, feeling separation from Krishna, like this. But in worshipping Mahaprabhu, the mood is like this, because we're understanding that he is the Lord and I am the servant. So therefore there's mood of dasya. But in Vrindavan, Krishna, we don't think of Krishna as God. In fact, sometimes we pray to Narayan or something like this. Or sometimes we think that Krishna was blessed by Narayan, so therefore he was able to lift Govardhan Hill or something like this. So in Vrindavan Lila it's different. The Madhurya aspect is more manifested, because Krishna's not God, he's just a village boy. But in Navadvip, the Audharya aspect is manifested, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind-hearted Lord of all of the devotees. That's the general understanding. Talking about their relationship with Mahaprabhu, more reverence. They all have their gopi forms in Krishna Lila, and they're all praying and singing and doing bhajan in that mood. They're all always praying to Lord Chaitanya for his mercy. Kind of like the Navadvip or Gaura Lila is like the universal panacea for all question of rasa. Because everybody's there all together, no matter who, what their rasa is, and they're all worshipping Radha and Krishna. They're participating in the Radha Krishna Sankirtan of Mahaprabhu. Book we're studying now, where it's Rupa Goswami. study Prabhupada's books, you should study them 3 times. And then when you're fully conversant with his presentation, you'll notice that there are places where he recommends you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita or Krishna Bhavanamrita or other Goswami grunts. So he wanted us to also go ahead and continue reading the Goswami literature. But he didn't want us to skip over his books. He wanted us to first be firmly grounded in the proper Siddhanta, so that when we read these other books, we never become confused. So later, after you read and study and these books very sufficiently, then you can go on and you can read other books. Prabhupada ki jai.